One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
You have your Bible, turn with us, please, the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. You ever heard anybody say, well, that's heaven on earth? You know where they got that? It's out of the Bible. It's out of the Bible. Right in the Bible. Very words are in the Bible. Heaven on earth. The Bible talks about heaven on earth. And this is going to introduce our message. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it's chapter 11. Chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Because I want to pick out 5 or 6 verses. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments, always. Now that's the introduction of everything we've got to say tonight. And brother, if you'll do that, you're in for some heaven on earth.
Amen.
I promise you that. And so in the 13th verse, we read these words. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. I'll give you rain in your land, due season, first rain, latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. I'll send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Now verse 19. And ye shall teach them your children. That's your schoolroom right there. That's number one schoolroom. Now, the refusal to do that has wrecked our nation. That's it. And he told the parents. He's talking to the parents. He said, you shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. You'd say, reckon what that means. Well, I can tell you, it means exactly what it says. You'd say, could you elaborate? Won't need to. It just means put Bible signs everywhere.
Amen. Amen.
Just stick them up where, if a heathen comes to see you, you'd say, boy, look at that. If a lost man walks by, if a man knocks on your door, just let him look up and read, see a Bible sign. Said that. Of course, they'll say you're a fanatic, but who cares? I mean, he said, do it. Thou shalt write them doorposts of thine house upon thy gates. Now, wait a minute. What did he promise? That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth.
Amen.
And there it is. Now, you know why we're not having heaven on earth? We haven't had the fulfillment of that commandments yet. We have none we told us to do. Do you love him first of all with all of your heart? Do you love his commandments and do you keep them? Do you teach them diligently to your children? And do you paste them and write them and print them and stick them up in billboards all over your property? It's exactly what he said right here. And listen, we ought not to be any more in love with the Word of God than the children of Israel. I've said this before, but many years ago when I went to school, they told me that this just pertained to the Jews and said that we're not supposed to have this and couldn't have that, and we had the Gentile age and the Jew age and the Israelites and the Gentiles, and I didn't know what I could have. Finally, I just got to where I claimed it all. I said, now if it takes a Jew to get that, I'll just be a Jew. And I believe that's what Jesus said when he fulfilled the law and the prophets. I believe we have access to all of it.
Amen.
And when the Lord said, if you'll keep my commandments, my statutes, my precepts, I'll put none of these diseases on you that are put on the people in Egypt.
Amen.
Now, I just figured something out, and I believe it's right. Do you suppose God would do more for a little old Jew with five books of the Bible than he would for his blood-bought, redeemed, washed in the blood children that have been filled with the Spirit and that love Jesus? You believe he loves the Jews more than he loves us, so far as that's concerned? I believe they're his people. I believe he's got a work to do with them, and he's going to do it too. Fact is, he's in the end time of working that thing. But listen, I believe that God's people are not getting what's coming to them. Amen. I'm just leading up to my sermon tonight. And I'm going to tell you why. Now, people ask me all the time, say, do you believe in divine healing? I didn't know there was any other kind. I read in the Bible, found a devotion where Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that you've given me power over all flesh. Yes. Now, what's disease affect flesh? Now, if Jesus has power over all flesh, then look to me like he'd have to do the healing. Amen. Now, here's the thing that I'm dealing with. I not only believe in divine healing, which would not be necessary if we had enough divine prevention. Now, that's what Moses got in the mount, see? We're not doing what he told us to do. And I believe that sickness is a result of ignorance or disobedience. And when I say ignorance, that's a rather blunt term, but most of us are eating up with it. That's been my biggest problem all my life, is ignorance. Now, we could call it a lack of learning or higher education, but it just sounds like ignorance to me. And before I'm through, you're going to either get mad at me or you're going to agree that you've had an awful spell of ignorance. Now, you ready for the text? Found in Deuteronomy, it's 10:10. And when I say 10:10, I think of John 10:10. I came that you might have life. And I love life, don't you? I love life so good, I don't think I could ever succeed in committing suicide. I mean, that's the least of my desire. And as I've said before, if I ever die, it's going to come as a complete shock and surprise to me. Because I've certainly made no plans, I mean, to die. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not ready. I'm ready. I mean, that'd cure everything wrong with me. I mean, you know, it'd just take me right on to heaven and with the Lord. But the thing I'm saying is this, Christians ought to be so involved in living. Amen. Until it ought to be the most thrilling experience. We ought to dread to go to bed at night because we have to die. People go to sleep, they're dead. Can't think, can't read, can't sing. I mean, they're just sort of dead. Of course, that's a limitation that God's put on the flesh, but God's people ought to enjoy living. The Bible said, love not sleep. Amen. Now, you know the reason a lot of people do not enjoy living? They're not really living. Let me ask you a question. Can you enjoy sickness as much as you can help? You'd say, I just have to endure it, but I don't enjoy it. Of course, I did ask one dear sister one day, I said, how are you getting along? And bless her old soul, she said, I'm enjoying poor health. Yeah, enjoying poor health, see? Dear friend, we face the end time of a decayed race. Medicare, hospitals, drug stores, very few people will die a natural death. Now, I'm still leading up to my subject, and I want to capture your attention. The man who gave us what he gave us lived a natural life and died a natural death. Yeah. And the Bible said his natural force was not abated, neither was his idea. Amen. He was 120 years old, but brother, he got something when he went in the mound. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. And God's people are wasting a lot of God's money on drugstores and dope and doctors when we ought to be going to the great physician and living by the word of God. And every last one of you assembly of God folks ought to holler at amen. Amen. And if you don't, you've been backslidden. You used to believe it and you know it, didn't you?
Amen. Good grief.
Now, I want to tell you what a doctor told me. I mean, a medical doctor. He said, Brother Olaf, I believe that doctors, now I know this is rather drastic, but this is what the doctor told me. But he's a great man of faith, loves the Lord. He said that doctors ought to be just for those people that didn't live by faith. And of course, they'd still have a thriving business. I mean, they'd not want for patients. I mean, they'd just run over them getting there. I tell you, brother, I've been thinking, it looks to me like we've just gotten away from a lot of things. For instance, we've substituted education for revelation. We've substituted the doctor for divine healing from the Lord and the Word of God. And when I say divine healing, brother, I believe it comes through the Word of God.
Amen.
I believe that the point of contact we need today is the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the greatest man in town to get people well ought to be the man that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? We got to teach you to live by faith. Just live by faith. I tell you something else. We've substituted the psychiatrist for the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible says, God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Now, you don't buy mental health. It's a gift. And I believe that Jesus is powerfully interested in your own physical welfare, mental welfare, as well as your spiritual welfare.
Amen.
And we need to sound out again hope for the people, because most people are in despair when they think of the days and weeks and months and years that they're going to be sick, and the burden, and going to some old folks' home or to the rest home or to the hospital. And those final days are dreaded by most people. And it's a nightmare to the average person, and said, what am I going to do? My dear friends, turn it over to Jesus.
Amen.
You say, I know that's easy to say. I know it. It's better to do, though. Now, let's begin the message. I stayed in the mount. That's my text. 10:10. Deuteronomy 10:10. I stayed in the mount. Now, remember this. When he went up to get... Now, you know what he's going up the mount to get, don't you? First place, he's going up there to get rid of Moses. And that's the first step, I believe, in having a good mind, a sound body, and a saved soul, and a sanctified experience. I believe it's getting rid of yourself. There's our trouble today. You talk about slaves to self. That's it. And he went up there, and God said to him, Moses, I'm going to put you on a 40-day fast. 40 days. Have you ever stopped to think that Moses fasted 40 days, Elijah fasted 40 days, and Jesus fasted 40 days? That's the law, the prophets, and grace.
Amen.
Are all of them swallowed up in one? Because when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah came flying in,
yes,
heavenly astronauts.
Amen.
And landed on the mount, and Peter, you know, looked up and said, my, we got a trio from heaven. Jesus glorified, and Moses and Elijah, and we better go into a building program. What'd the Father tell him? He said, this is my son. You hear him.
Amen.
And Moses bit the dust, nudged John directly and said, look up and see how it is. And John said, nobody left but Jesus. That's all he needed, wasn't it?
Amen.
Dear friend, we don't. But let's go back. Moses went into the mount. He stayed 40 days, and God gave him the Word of God. He gave him the first word that God ever wrote down, he gave to Moses. Now then, he took it down and found the children of Israel under the leadership of a worldly associate pastor, as he had built a golden calf. And they were dancing around the golden calf without any clothes. And Moses, of course, got some real conviction, didn't he? Brother, if you ever go in the mount, I believe that's where you get your conviction straightened out.
Amen.
And he drew the line and told him, said, who's on the Lord's side? Said, stand by me. And he divided a whole bunch, and then a bunch of them got killed. And he tore up the golden calf. Now, that's the conviction that a preacher had, that had just been with the Lord. But that's not the end of the story. He broke the Word of God. I mean, the commandments were torn to bits, and God said, head back for the mount. Here he goes. God said, 40-day fast again. Got to get rid of Moses. Good deal of Moses came back in you down there, but we're gonna get you. And so he made him fast 40 days. Now then, notice what he said. Verse 10, I stayed in the mount. I stayed in the mount. Now the question is, what did he get out of the mount? What did he get out of the mount? He got what the world needs right now. Fact is, I can take Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I can take those five books, known as the Pentateuch. I can take those five books and cure everything that's wrong with the world today, as I see Jesus prefigured in. Now, I know that the Lamb and the law, the ceremonial law, but there were three laws. There was a ceremonial law. And I'm sure every Christian would agree that the ceremony law has been fulfilled. And Jesus is the Lamb now. Nobody brought a lamb here today or brought a basin full of blood. Because by faith we can claim the blood of Christ. How sweet it is. We can sing, there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. You know, it's just wonderful that we just have Jesus today, and that's all we need. I mean, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so I'm sure I'll not have any difficulty with this first law. It's been fulfilled. The ceremonial law is not intact today because Christ is the only ceremony that we need. He's our Savior. All right. Number two, while he was in the mount, he got the moral law. I mean, it's still intact today. We're supposed to live pure today and clean today. Of course, back over there in the Old Testament, they were really rough on them. I mean, they'd just take them out and stone them to death. For instance, if a boy got disobedient to his parents and they couldn't do a thing with him, and the daddy would go tell the elders and said, my boy is a rebel. They said, all right, bring him outside the city. And brother, they'd take enough stones and they'd cave his head in and he was dead. Now, the moral law and the respect for parents and the clean living and pure living is still intact today, in spite of the fact that this is the flesh pot age in America. Never has there been so much filth and sin as is in America right now. A disrespect for the marriage vow, a broken home, delinquent children, fallen girls, illicit living, homosexuality, alcoholism, dope addiction.
You know, somebody handed me a little article here. I thought I'd share it with you, but I want to show you the connection.
100,000 drinkers, a tenth of a million. Now, that's not all of them, you know that. But I want you to notice something. Addressing the fourth annual meeting of the City Council on Alcoholism, noted that among the patients at the state's mental hospitals, 33% were admitted because of liquor. So, boys, just go ahead and drink, but make a reservation down at the Nut House before you do. Yeah. Y'all go ahead now, you smart alecks, see? Yeah. You modernists and you streamliners and you social sippers, go ahead! But they'll get you down there at the house after a while. Think about it. When you see three people go in a liquor store, one of them's going to wind up at a mental institution. That's what people voted for.
We sealed our doom as a nation when we did. Now then, what did Moses say in the mount? He said, morally, we're to be pure. We're to be clean. And he told us in detail about it.
Moses got the soil conservation program. He told them exactly how to farm. He said, every 7 years, let her rest. Amen. Let her rest. And that'd take care of the soil, but you think the people in this country do that? Uh-uh. We've raped the soil and she's gone. And now then we've shot so much commercial fertilizer to it, until the soil has been soiled and people are trying to live out of poison. And then you wonder why cancer is the number one disease in this country. You wonder why people are so full of heart trouble today. You wonder why so many ladies, wives are left widows between the age of 40 and 50. We haven't learned what Moses found out in the mount. Moses brought us up now to this other thing. And I believe that this is a part of the Word of God and needs to be preached today. Now, I started off by saying, if there's any Baptist in this country that has believed in divine healing and praying for the sick and taking a little oil bottle with him, and when people ask him to pray for him, it doesn't make any difference if it's in the middle of the aisle or down in the altar, or on the street, or in the house, or if you invite me, brother, hospital bed, I go every time. Doctor walks in, nurses come in, I still pull my oil bottle on them. Why? Bible says so. Amen. I mean, that's what James said, do it. Amen. And I tell you, brother, a lot of people say, well, I don't think it means literally oil. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it spells O-I-L, and that sounds literal to me. Amen. I've had some of the preachers say, you know, they look at you and say, well, you know, that's not for today. Brother Olaf, you just missed the boat somehow or another. And that's figurative, you know. And then they said, well, what kind of oil do you think you ought to use? Well, I said, wouldn't make me a good deal of difference. I ordinarily would use olive oil because it's a Bible oil. The Bible talks about olive. Jesus talks about the olive. And we talk about the olive tree. But if I couldn't get anything else, use machine oil on them. I'd grease them up with something.
I just believe we ought to go to any length to do what the Bible says do.
Amen.
Find a bottle with oil on it, I'd say, I'll use this oil if it's all you got. You'd say, Brother Olaf, I didn't know you were that stupid. Well, I'm the happiest, stupid person you ever saw, really. And I want to tell you something else. I've gotten more done since I got stupid than I did before.
Amen.
I mean, I've been a blessing to more people, not because it's me, but because God gave me faith to believe it.
Amen.
And after all, it don't make any difference how smart you are, how educated you are. Listen, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. We run down the church, you know, and somebody prays a little sanctimonious prayer. Lord, help us to please thee. Well, just do it by faith then. I mean, just preach by faith, sing by faith, and offer your praise to God by faith. He said that'll please him. Why? That releases Jesus into the service and the Holy Spirit into the service. When you go by faith, then the Holy Spirit takes over. You see, the thing that throws me out of gear is faith, and the thing that puts him in gear is faith. And the difference between a dry service and a real warm, victorious service is faith in Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Now then, the next law is where we're going to do a little talking and thinking right here. Moses, when he got in the mount, got the dietary law. How he did? He said, now, God said, Moses, he didn't just tell him to go back and tell him. He said, you write it down so they'll know. They'll forget it. And brother, he said, this I want you to eat, and this you shall not eat because it's unclean. You know why we got so much sickness in the country today? We have not paid any attention to the dietary law. Oh, you'd say, Brother Olaf, you don't think that applies today. Body's still like it always was. Hog's just as greasy now as he was then. Don't sweat up at me, brother. It just works other way. I mean, God told you, said he's unclean. And you people, bless your dear heart, you wouldn't have to pray for so many sick people, neither would I, if people would eat right and fast right and obey the word of God. Brother, he got it in the mouth. And that word still holds today. And I'm going to say something that I've not said many times, but I say it out of a deep sense of conviction. I believe that Jesus Christ literally kept everything he said. And I believe that he said every bit of this. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And brother, you just get it straight tonight. When we live by the Word of God, we're going to keep what he said in the Old Testament. I'm not talking about the ceremonial law, but I am talking about the dietary law, and I'm talking about the moral law. I'm not off on some wild tangent. I'm just telling you, America is a decayed race because she's either ignorant or disobedient about the way she takes care of the temple. I'm in the presence of a great crowd of people that have spent a great deal of time and made a real emphasis on being filled with the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Baptized, saturated, soaked up until we don't even come up. We're under, and he comes up.
Amen.
Now I want to ask you a question. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? You have a nice building, simple but neat and nice, large and spacious. And I passed by this big Presbyterian building. A lot of bricks sticking up there, rock, whatever they are. Stained glass windows and big steeples and so forth. But I got news for you. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in any of that. He dwells in our bodies.
Amen.
He lives in us. Now I want to ask you a question. And don't turn back now. What kind of a residence would he like to live in? What kind do you like to live in? What kind of car do you drive? Oh, you said, I got a nice new car. What kind of car does he want? I believe Moses was going into all of that when he said, I want you to take care of your body. Now, remember this. The body is no good apart from being filled with the Spirit. I don't think the body has any sense. The brain hadn't got any sense. And the Bible says Jesus becomes the head of the body. That's where the brains is, in the head. Vision's in the head. Hearing's in the head. Everything's in the head. And the body is worth exactly nothing when the head's gone. I believe that Jesus is the head of the church. The Bible's the divine blueprint for the church. The Holy Spirit's the administrator of the church. He's the only one that's got any sense in the church. And none of us have any spiritual sense apart from the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit of Christ is not optional. It's a command. Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And when we're filled with the Spirit, dear friends, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Amen.
Joy.
Yes.
Long-suffering. Gentleness. Forbearance.
And that's exactly what we need as God's people. But I'm coming back to one thing. And I believe that I have seen, and ignoring among our Baptist people and others in what we've eaten and ignoring the dietary law, and we've brought on illness. Now, I believe that God's people can get out of what Moses got out of the mount, and we can live and be strong and well. We're spending too much money on drugstores.
Amen.
And on doctors. Yeah. And we're saying, and I hope you'll not get that away. And I thought about today. I believe in our mission programs. And I've never said this publicly, but I've thought about it, and I'm going to say it tonight. I believe that we're spending too much money on educational institutions. Go to the mission field, and we're going to build a college, and we're going to build a university, and we're going to build... I believe we need to spend our time winning people to Christ, and then we do the next thing. We go over there and say, well, the people are sick, and so we're going to build a hospital, and we're going to be medical missionaries, and all of that. I know I'm going to be misunderstood by many, but I believe we need to go back and emphasize that Jesus Christ can meet every need of the people. And I'm getting tired of Jesus playing second fiddle to a bunch of man-made programs.
Amen.
I don't believe it's right in the sight of God, and I believe the Holy Spirit's grieved, and we're so dead that we don't depend on Jesus to do what he wants to do for us.
Amen.
Now, I'm talking especially about us Baptists, but you're going in the same direction if you're not careful.
Amen.
I mean, you're going to quit praying for the sick, and you're going to quit... having the things that you have always had. If you're not careful, you're going to settle down and be nice and fit in, and you want to get along, and you want to be respected by the city. Let me tell you something. The only people you need to be respected by is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the right kind of people will respect you. And there was a time, even when Baptists got started, brother, we started out under in little weed patches and tabernacles and old brush arbors, and yet we increased in number and prospered and built fine churches and buildings. And there was a time when I went to the seminary, it was called Poverty Hill. I heard my neighbors, Ms. Olof and I lived in a little old duplex, and that thing was just, I'm telling you, it is just about ready to cave in. And in the apartment next to us, I've heard my neighbors get down on their knees and pray at night and say, Lord, you know that we don't have any groceries.
Yeah.
You told us if we'd trust you, you'd supply, and we're depending on you to bring us some groceries. They didn't know I was tuned in. I was listening, you know, through them old thin walls. And brother, I tore out down to my church, and I said, folks, we're going to give a pounding. And brother, you talk about pounding. When I came in Sunday night about midnight, we unloaded groceries all over. You'd say, well, you answered the prayer. No, the Lord told me to do it. The Lord answered it.
Amen.
I've heard him pray when winter set in on that old cold hill, the Seminary Hill. And I've heard him pray, Lord, you know winter's here, and we don't have any cover. I mean, they didn't have any electric blankets or heating pads. They didn't have any quilts or nothing else. Brother, I went down there and told those sweet old country people, I said, I need some quilts. They brought those big old homemade quilted quilts, you know, threw them in the back of that old car and tore out for the seminary and covered them up. They slept warm. There was listen, I can remember the time when a mother would go to class, absolutely go to class, and would faint when she got up and started to walk out of the building. She'd fall on her face. They'd pick her up, and they found out that she was feeding all they had, a preacher's wife, feeding all they had to the little children and starving herself to death to try to go to school. Brother, those were great days.
Yeah.
Those were days when we didn't have any endowment, but we had some endowment. And that's what we need today, my brother.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I'd swap all we got for the Spirit of God and Pentecostal power again.
Amen.
Oh, we've drifted away from this book. One of the first things Baptists taught me was that the Bible is God's rule for faith and practice. I mean, that's been the teaching that I've had all of my life. In other words, go by the book. What's the book say? Stay with the book. Stay with the book.
Yes.
Now then, I'm going to ask you a question, and all my radio friends, do you really believe that a man can live by the Word of God? I mean, can a man just live by the Word? I came to a crisis in my life years ago, more than anybody else knew except me, and I felt that I'd reached the end of the runway, I mean, physically and almost mentally. I mean, I'd come to the place where it just seemed like I couldn't make it. And the man that I mentioned a while ago had a great deal of bearing on my life to live by faith. Just live by faith. I'd never lived by faith. I didn't know you could. I mean, they didn't tell me. I went to the seminary. I went to Baylor. They didn't tell me I was supposed to live by faith. I mean, I wasn't taught that you could just claim the promises of God and step out on them and they'd be fulfilled. And so I came to the place 20 years ago and I said, Lord, I want to live by faith.
Amen.
I'd rather live by faith a little while than live by sight a long while. And I want you to teach me. And the Lord began to deal with my heart about living by faith.
Amen.
I mean, just take the Bible, whatever the Bible said. And I've been learning ever since. And I'm still learning. And I found out that God had an eating program for me. Sleeping program, exercise program. He said, now this is what I teach in the Word of God. I want you to do it. And I said, Lord, I never do want to take another aspirin tablet the rest of my life. Buffering tablet, pill, laxative, nothing. Just want to be done with it. The Lord said, now you're talking. I'm going to help you. Get in the Word of God. Stay right with it. Get rid of all the rest of it and then stay with my book. You live out of the Word of God. The words that I speak unto thee, they're what? Spirit, they're life.
Amen.
Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And they might have it more abundant. You say, well, he's talking about spiritual life. Well, you said that. God didn't. God said life and have more abundant. So I just claim all kinds.
Amen.
Mental life, physical life, spiritual life, financial life, all of it.
Amen.
He told me I could have more abundant life, so I'm just going to claim it.
Amen.
You know, the blessed thing about it, it works. If you got something better, let me have it. But till you do find something better, I'll stick with what I got here. Because this is what the Bible said right here.
Amen.
When Moses came out of the mount, let's see what he had. I mean, let's just see what he had. And listen, he only had 5 books of the Bible. Do you really believe that the New Testament is a great blessing? The gospel, we got 4 gospels. We got 3 synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we got the believer's gospel, Gospel of John, and then we got the gospel of the Holy Spirit, which is the book of Acts. We call it the Acts of the Apostles. It's not, that's Acts of the Holy Spirit. But then we got Romans, that great doctrinal treatise, and then we have the letters to the churches, and then we climb up on Patmos over there with John and know how this thing coming out, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. But you know, they didn't have that much. When he walked out of there, he just had 5 books that he got in the mount. That's all he had. And I want you to know, he said, folks, and he shook those in the face of those children of Israel. I mean, morning, noon, and night. That was their daily diet. And he said, now, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, he said, you can stay well. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and you're not going to need to be sick. And if you'll stay with this, and stay with this, and stay with this. And brother, that's exactly what we need to be preaching today. I believe that it's possible for a man to live from conversion to death by the Word of God. I believe it's possible for a man to bring up a Bible home. I believe his wife, his children, can all be blessed and every need be met.
Amen.
By the Word of God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to make another statement before I come to tell you what Moses got. I believe that if Jesus Christ had violated his dietary law, he'd have sinned. You'd say, well, why? You ought to know he wouldn't be practicing what he wrote. Now, brother, when it gets to the place where you realize there's some things that are sin, see, then you ought to do some thinking about it. People say, well, why don't you drink coffee? Well, why do you? Why don't you drink Coca-Cola? Why do you? I'm just going by what the Bible says. There are certain things that we ought to eat and drink and we ought to live. The Bible talks about the kind of fish you ought to eat. It'd be an amazing thing if everybody just hauled off and started living by the Bible. You'd be surprised how many vacant rooms would be in the hospital. You'd be surprised how many doctors would be putting an ad in the paper and said, I'm available for conferences. I mean, brother, they'd have to advertise to get them. Now then, they just say, well, I can't take on any more patients. And here's the thing that gets me, Brother Scott. Church members are running just as fast to the doctor as a heathen world. There ought to be a difference.
Amen.
We've got something they don't know anything about. Come on now, stay with me. God's people ought to enjoy the manifold wisdom of God. And the world has lost confidence in us because we live too much like the world. You'd say, you believe Jesus stayed with his diet? I know he did. You'd say, what happened? He never had a sick day in his life, and you know it. I do not believe. Fact is, a lot of people say Paul was a very sick man. I don't believe it. I think he was sick at the first. He said, at the first I preached the gospel, you were the infirmity of the flesh. But I tell you one thing. If he was a sick man, he's the strongest sick man I ever saw. I mean, they beat him 5 times with 40 lashes, save
save one, that means 5 and 40 would be 200 minus 5 would be 195 major operations. I mean, they cut him every time they hit him. They left him for dead at Lystra. They starved him to death. They kicked him around in jailhouses and everything else. And yet, one day, he and Dr. Luke walked out to the chopping block together.
Yes, they did.
They didn't haul him out on a stretcher. Wasn't no ambulance hauling him around. And they never did haul him around. When he got up off the ground at Lystra, the Bible said the people gathered around him. I don't believe they just said, why did the Lord permit it? You know, have you ever heard that? Oh, he just worked himself to death. Yeah. I know a bunch of people died and didn't work at all.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.